Jamie, can we just have that clip, please?
Well, Jimmy, I get a lot of parking fines, and I have realised if you ask for evidence, then often you can get out of the fine. Now, I was up north doing a show, and I got a fine, so I emailed the council asking for the evidence. I got an email from some woman called Steph, who said, Mr. Lycett, I have passed your email on to the Freedom of Information team. Hopefully they'll be in touch with you soon. Now, I didn't like that word, hopefully, so I replied, Steph, sadly, hopefully doth butter no parsnips. Can I have an email address for the person you have contacted? My lawyers would like to contact them directly. You have been very helpful, and hopefully you won't get caught up in the forthcoming. Forthcoming was sinister enough. She replied, Mr. Lycett, I'm not sure what you mean about buttered parsnips. I've CC'd in the FOI team who will advise. Now, I got an email from someone called Colin. He said, Mr. Lycett, your request is very broad, so I've assumed you only want information pertinent to your recent parking fine. Attached is the evidence which we have, which are photographs of your car clearly parked in a taxi rank. Now, the photographs they had are of my window, which had taxi rank written on it by presumably a disgruntled taxi driver. But there's actually no evidence of a taxi rank in that photograph. So I went back to Colin, didn't I? And I said, Mr. Colin, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. I see that your evidence is nothing more than a picture of the words taxi rank written on my car. I would argue this evidence is insufficient. I also put PS, apologies for the delay in replying to your previous email. I'm currently on the Costa del Sol. I provided evidence of this, and then I just put this picture. He said, Mr. Lycett, in order to reverse the fine, you will need to provide evidence that your vehicle was not in a taxi rank. So I said, oh, Mr. Colin, evidence supplied. I was actually parked on the moon, as you can see clearly. I got a reply, Mr. Lycett, I've cancelled the fine.
Now, that clip will all make sense in about 25 minutes' time, I can promise you that. But this morning, it's a real joy and an honour to be here. It's a real blessing when Pastor Nev asks you to speak, and it's also a super blessing when he asks you to speak when he's not in the country, because you know that he must trust you, and I hope that's the case, and I hope I do him proud. So, Father, this morning, we give you all the honour and the glory and the praises. We thank you for everything you have done this morning. We thank you for everything you're going to do this morning. And we really believe for lives to be changed and transformed, because we want to see your name made famous, your name lifted high in this town of Reading. If you agree with me, please, congregation, give me a big amen. Amen. And amen. Wow, God is good. You know, I've just been away these last couple of days in Milton Keynes. Johnny and I, we've just been doing some training, and it's been proper intense. And you know, when you've got the message on your mind and you just want to finalize stuff. So last night and this morning, I was just up doing a few bits and bobs. But this morning, actually, can we get the first slide on, Jamie? Thank you. I've entitled the message, We Up For This, as in, are we up for this? And I wanted to bring a real message this morning of challenge, of encouragement, of inspiration, and hopefully motivation to seeing this town of Reading transformed, to seeing our families all come to salvation and playing active roles in the church, seeing people come to know Jesus. Because we're here to see Jesus' name made famous. Did you know that? One of the things why we have got this big balcony up there is because we want that to be full, because we want to make Jesus' name famous. So this morning, we're going to go through 3 points. And it's 3 points I did a few weeks ago, but I've just changed them around a bit and just added bits and bobs to them. Pastor Nev wanted me to bring this word. And I believe it's 3 incredibly important points that if we implement in our lives, and that's a choice, we don't have to. That's a choice. If we implement these 3 points into our lives, we'll be used to do the impossible. I believe that with all my heart. So the 3 points are, we need to be firstly full of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of God upon us, without the Holy Spirit guiding us. We can't do anything without that. The second point we're going to look at very briefly this morning is having supernatural faith. Not just faith, supernatural faith. And the third point we're going to look at this morning is the joy of being able to work hard for Jesus. So, point one. Maybe Jamie could just budget along for me. Thank you. Is to be full of the Holy Spirit. I've been working for the church for many years, and I can assure you that I have tried to do stuff without the Holy Spirit, and it has flopped. But I know that when I do stuff, events, talks, and whatever with the Holy Spirit, they are so much more successful. Because we need to be full of the Holy Spirit all the time. We need to spend time with the Holy Spirit every single day. We need to commune with Jesus. My first challenge is, I challenge you that every day before you get up to go to work, spend time reading the word, spend time in worship. Don't leave your house until you get a rhema word of the word that Jesus has spoke to you that morning. Do that before you leave for work. I can promise you, God doesn't want you to be late for work, because the Bible tells us to obey our leaders and obey our bosses and stuff like that. But my first challenge is every morning. So before I get up, well not before I get up, when I get up every morning, I'll go and make my nice ginger and lemon tea, because I'm quite hipster and I don't do caffeine anymore, you know. And so nice ginger and lemon tea. I sit on my little yellow chair, which we often see in the notices. I get my iPad out. I read the word of God. I spend some time in prayer. I spend some time in worship. And I sit in that chair until I know that God has spoken to me. As soon as God speaks to me, I send that on to my cell group and I send that on to the other youth leaders in the church. Because I want the guys to know the importance of spending time with Jesus every single day. Christmas Day, we send the message out, we still spend time with Jesus. When we're on holiday, we still spend time with Jesus before we go about our days. And I can promise you guys, when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're spending time with Jesus all the time, your life will never, ever be the same again. I think I said even just a couple of weeks ago that this year I was really proud of myself. And I know it's not good to be proud, but when I went on holiday, my summer holidays this year, every day I was able to spend time in the Word. And that's probably the first time I've ever done that. Usually it might be every other day. And I was like, yes, God, I'm really excited about spending time with you. Pastor Cesar from Bogota tells us, our battles, our problems, our families are won. Stadiums are filled when we win the battles in the heavenlies. Did you know the Holy Spirit is your best friend? Did you know the Holy Spirit will be your biggest comforter? The Holy Spirit will be your biggest encourager. So spend time with the Holy Spirit all the time. Every single day. And I can promise you this. Something I know is that when I see these people, when I see Jesus, I know he achieved amazing things because he was full of the presence. I know that the disciples and the apostles of Jesus achieved amazing things because they were full of the Holy Spirit. We know in Acts 2, don't we? We're all praying in the room and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then what happened? They achieved amazing things. So when we're full of the Holy Spirit and living with the Holy Spirit and being overflowed with the Holy Spirit, we will achieve amazing things for the glory of God. So spend time with Jesus all the time. That's point one. Point two is, I'm not sure this is working. It is working. Is have supernatural faith. Now, if you can achieve something without the Holy Spirit, that's not supernatural faith. That's just working hard, which is good. But we need to have faith and supernatural faith. Now, faith is put incredibly simply, is believing in something you can't see. I remember when we used to do Refresh years ago at Ralph Lane, when we were in that small building there. There was this guy there who goes, James, you're chatting about faith and all this sort of stuff. I don't understand what you're saying. How can you believe in something which isn't there? You're just chatting rubbish. And I said to the guy very clearly, I said, can you see the wind outside? He goes, no, but you know it's windy? He's like, yes. I said, but you can't see it, so how do you know it's there? Well, I can see the leaves moving. I said, but you can't see the wind, but you can see what happens. And then I gave my testimony of my life before Jesus was in my life. And I said, once the Holy Spirit came upon me, my life changed. And I can assure you guys, it'll be the same for everyone. To see a town full of disciples of Jesus, to see a town full of our family members worshiping the King, to see a town full of people who aren't sick, who are being healed, we need to have not only faith, but supernatural faith. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I gave the example when I was talking about supernatural faith of the centurion soldier in the Bible. And I'm going to quickly go over that, and then we're going to look at someone else. But the centurion soldier had supernatural faith. His servant, as we know in the story, I'm paraphrasing here, was really, really ill. And the Roman centurion soldier heard about the amazing things Jesus was doing, went to see Jesus and said, "Jesus, I know you're awesome. I know you're amazing. Any chance you can say a prayer for my servant? And because I know that he'll heal you, you'll heal him." And Jesus was like, "Yeah, no problems, Mr. Centurion soldier. I'm just going to come down. I'll just say a few more prayers for these guys. Then I'll come to your house." The centurion soldier then said, "No, Jesus, don't worry about coming to my house. Just say the words and I know that he'll be healed." Now, that's supernatural faith. Faith is saying, "Yeah, Jesus, come along with me. That'd be awesome. Come and pray for my servant." But supernatural faith is just say the words and it'll happen. You don't even have to come to my house for it to happen. That's supernatural faith. Now, faith, this morning, I just want to look at a quick story. And we're going to look at the story just very quickly of David and Goliath. Now, we won't read the whole story for time's sake, but just putting some context in the story. David at this time was a shepherd boy and was Jewish. His father, Jesse, had 8 sons, and David was the youngest. Now, David, during this war between the Israelites and the Philistines, he was out looking after sheep. That was his job role, whilst all the other sons of Jesse were fighting. So David wasn't seen as much of a fighter, was actually only coming to the area because his dad asked him to bring some provisions for his brothers who were fighting for Saul. Now, all this would have happened about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Now, the Israelites, David, are in battle with the Philistines. And there was this guy called Goliath who was a giant. And they reckon, I was just doing a bit of research this week, they reckon he was between 6'6" or 9'9" tall. Now, I guess the stories we read, we all presume he's 9'9", so he's tall, because I'm about 6'6". And, give or take a foot or so, perhaps. But so Goliath was about 9'9". And about twice every single day, he would come out and say to the Israelites, paraphrasing, "Oh, you Israelites, you're losers. I want to beat you all up. I challenge you to send one warrior down to fight me. If they win, job is done, battle is done. If they don't, we're going to continue this big fight." The Israelites were incredibly scared and didn't want to send anyone down to Goliath because he was this massive giant. And I just wanted to just give a quick example. Now, who's probably one of the shortest people in this room and one of the tallest people in this room? I know Kim's quiet. No, any who's like one of the shortest? Just quickly. What's your name? I can't see you. What's your name? Do you want to come to the stage for 1 second? And Jim Herring can be Goliath for this. Jim, do you want to come to the stage for 1 second? Now, guys, I just wanted to just to show you just something quite simply. Your name is?
Fred.
So we got Fred here. Cool, he needs some prayer afterwards because the Bible says lying is a sin. So perhaps his name, Jim. And your name is?
Star.
Star. Good jumper. Come up, Star. Come and stand just where I am. Now, I just wanted to give you this quick example, and we're not going to do much. I just want to show you the difference. So, Star is David. You happy to be David, Star?
Yeah.
Good. And Jim, we'll pray for you afterwards. Be happy for this example to be Goliath?
Yes.
Yeah, see, he's a warrior, man. This guy is big and scary. Now, what would happen is, Jim would be shouting to David. What would he be shouting?
"Come here, you, and I'm going to beat you up."
And what are you going to be thinking, David? Exactly. David's going to be thinking, "This 9'9" fella here, there's no chance I'm going to beat him." But do you know what happened, David? I'm going to call you Star. Can we call it Goliath Star, just because it's a bit easier? Do you know what happened, Star? David had supernatural faith. And he knew that even though you were so much shorter than Goliath, that you could win. And so what happened was, Star, you got a few pebbles and a sling, and you, let's just reenact it. Can you do something like that? Come this way, because we don't want Jim to fall over and fall down the stairs, otherwise Mr. Health and Safety is going to be in serious trouble. And then he had the sling, and then he threw it, and it hit Jim on the head. Oh. And then Jim, or Goliath, died. Thank you so much, Star. Thank you so much, Jim. Now, I just wanted to show you something. Okay, it's nothing like that in one sense, you know what I mean? But Goliath would have been massive and tall, and David would have been a lot shorter. But what I wanted to really point out this morning, you can read this whole story in 1 Samuel 17. But 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to 48 says, I'm going to open my Bible. This is the supernatural bit of faith that I want us to look at. 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 48 said, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear. Oh, well done. With sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord, the Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. We didn't reenact that bit. We'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. That is supernatural faith. That is Star saying to Jim, I have the Lord on my side. I will defeat you even though I'm so much shorter. Guys, we need to be men and women and youth and children and toddlers who have supernatural faith. Faith bigger than the circumstances which are in front of us. It made no sense for David to fight Goliath. He couldn't even wear the armor. He had no tools, and Goliath had loads of armor and loads of weapons. It made no faith. But when God is on your side and you have faith and supernatural faith in him, everything changes. Because when God is with you, nothing can be against you. So David had supernatural faith, faith bigger than his circumstances. He had God on his side. And when God is on our side, we win. So I want to challenge you guys. Let's have the King David supernatural faith. How often do we get given challenges by maybe our cell leaders? Let's have a social, let's pray, and let's fast, and let's invite them in to our cell group. And how often do we think, no, I'm not sure about that. Probably not going to happen. I've done it all before. That's not supernatural faith. Supernatural faith is seeing them sat in that living room, in that cell group already, even though you've not even done the invite yet. Because you believe that with God on your side, it is going to happen. So we declare, as David did in these verses, we will declare that we will see Reading changed and transformed. We declare that every single day. We're beginning to see that happen. We declare with supernatural faith that we will see that balcony fall not only once on a Sunday, but five or six times on a Sunday and three or four times on a Saturday. And man, we're going to have youth meetings on a Friday because the youth is going so crazy big as well. That's supernatural faith, and we have to believe that. We have to believe that every single person we pray for is going to be healed. That when someone comes up here who's incredibly ill, Lord Jesus, heal them by the blood you shed on your back in Jesus' name. Amen. Job done. They're healed. Supernatural faith. We need to believe that we'll see the Holy Spirit manifest in this town like never before. Supernatural faith. We need to declare it every day. Every single day. Stand in front of your mirror when you're doing your hair and you're putting your beard oils in or whatever you do. But declare, today is the day the Lord has made. I'm a winner because you're on my side, Jesus. That person I'm sat next to on the bus this morning, I'm going to speak about, and they're going to come to salvation. That person I walk past the street is going to see the difference in me because the Holy Spirit is upon me. Nothing is the same again. We need to have supernatural faith. Stand in front of the mirror. I'm going to be the best cell leader in the UK. I'm going to be the best politician representing Jesus in the houses of government. We declare it with supernatural faith because we want to be used by Jesus to make a difference in this town. Big faith. God's faith. We can do it. He wants it to happen, and he wants to use us. Did you know that, guys? He wants to use every single one of you sat in front of me or listening to the podcast in the week. He wants to use you to achieve the impossible. Yeah, as Craig said, my life's been turbulent this year so far, but I'm still here. I'm still wanting to make a difference in this town. I'm still wanting to be used by God. Every opportunity I can to speak to people about Jesus, or when my non-Christian friends text me, I'll go and see them because I believe with supernatural faith that they're going to come to salvation. It might not have happened yet, but I don't sit and sulk about it. I stand up and I'm being counted because there is a town and a city to win for Jesus Christ. So we commune with the Holy Spirit every single day. We have supernatural faith and it just happens. No, that is not the case. If it was, it would be a lot easier. My third point is, Jamie, you might have to just flick that on for me, mate. Oh, thank you. Is we got to work hard for Jesus. Living for Jesus is a 24/7 scenario. If you're welcome, if you're a visitor here to this church, you are so welcome. We just want to let you know in advance, we're not just a Sunday morning church. We enjoy Sunday mornings, but we're a 24/7, 365, 366, when there's a leap year, days of the year, Christian people. We want to live for him all the time. Because living for Jesus is 24/7. We work hard for our God because we love him. We work hard for God because we want to see this town changed. We work hard for God because we want to see this nation come under the rulership of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we never rest, of course. God set the example, work 6 days and rest on one. But guys, we have eternity to relax. We have eternity when our time is done, just to chill out with Jesus. We need to do all we can to see people come to salvation. And Pastor Nev encouraged us to go out on the streets. If we can, we go out on the streets. In cell groups, we invite our friends to come to cell. Why? Because we want to see our town changed and transformed. We want to see people come to salvation. We invite our friends to our homes when we're watching the football on a Sunday afternoon. Don't just sit on your own and watch it with a cup of coffee. Invite a couple of mates along. You know, the Holy Spirit is in your living room. Their lives will change. I can promise you, if you pray beforehand, Jesus will come up in conversation. You know, sometimes I go to our local pub with one of my great mates called Adam. And he's not a saved guy. And I always pray. He's not come to salvation. I've known him 10 years, you know. And so I'm not saying that as soon as you speak to someone, they come to salvation straight away. It takes hard work as well. And for 10 years, and every time I meet with him, I'm like, Lord, give me the opportunity to speak about you. And we sit and watch the football, and being a Liverpool fan and Reading fan at the moment, most of my teams often lose. And he always says, how's the church going? What are you doing? And so I can always get Jesus into the conversation. I'm believing that he's going to come to salvation. Have curry nights. Do everything you possibly can to invite people into your lives. Because we want them to encounter Jesus. And we don't want them ever, ever to be the same again. Because we have a town to win for Jesus. We have a nation to win for Jesus. We have a continent to win for Jesus. Europe is one of the most darkest continents, they reckon, at the moment when it comes to faith. But Jesus can use us to change that. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to have supernatural faith. And we need to work really hard. But you see, the invitations, that sounds like hard work as well, doesn't it? That's where it just begins. Then we want to encourage these guys. We want to put them on our courses to really get stuck into what this faith is all about. Steve in the announcements was talking about encounters. We want to get these guys on encounter weekends because we want them to really understand who Jesus is. Then we want them, and we're believing in them, to be future leaders. You know, I was in a training course yesterday, and it was a pastor there who's got a church of about 750 people, and he said, if that person 30 years ago hadn't risked investing in his life, he wouldn't be where he is now. And so we need to be people who risk investing in people's lives because we can see the gold and we can see the amazing stuff in them. If Andy Dickens and Pastor Nev hadn't invested and risked investing in my life 15 years ago, I wouldn't be here now. But they risked investing. So guys, we need to risk investing in people's lives. And we work hard because God is worth it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see any of my friends and family not party with me in heaven for eternity. So we need to do all we can to spend to speak to people about Jesus. So going back to the clip at the beginning with Joe Lysett, he had faith that he wouldn't pay that parking ticket. And he worked really, really hard, as we saw, to achieve the goal of not paying it, and he didn't. But that's worldly. But when we're talking about supernatural faith, like King David, we can achieve the impossible. We need to be men and women full of the Holy Spirit, believing that we can be used by God to change this city for His glory. So in closing, to achieve God's vision of making disciples of all nations, we need to heavily rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't even attempt to do it if you're not spending time with Jesus every single day. It will be, you'll just get tired out, because Jesus is who brings refreshment. So spend time with the Holy Spirit every single day. Have supernatural faith. Supernatural faith. Believing for things which seem totally impossible. I remember 15 years ago when I was in Bogota, I felt so clearly. God gave me a vision of the Medeski Stadium be full of people worshipping Jesus, of which the majority of them were unsaved. That's supernatural faith. But then I'm thinking, is that supernatural faith? Wembley's 90,000 people. Medeski Stadium's only 25,000 people. We need to have supernatural faith, believing in what seems impossible, but knowing that with Jesus in our lives, it is possible. Because, you know, we can't do anything. But Jesus in us, we can do everything. So we need supernatural faith. We need to work hard. And we really need to do this for the glory of Jesus. Guys, can I just ask you to stand up? I understand that you may be thinking, James, God, that's quite challenging. It's all right for you. You work in a church. Yeah, but I don't work with any unsaved people. So I have to get out there to speak to people who don't know Jesus. Guys, your workplace could be the place where you see great multiplication and fruit of people coming to know Jesus. Guys, I entitled the message, "We Up For This." Now, I just want to ask you guys, are you up for this? Yeah. Are you up for being used by Jesus? Don't do it on your own. You tire out. It's a waste of time. You're going to be cream crackered. You just want to go in bed all the time. But with Jesus, I want to ask you guys, if you're up for this, just to raise your hands in the air. You know, a church, you put your hands down, guys. That's fantastic. That's 3/4 of the church, I reckon, are up for making a difference in this town. This Jesus guy, we're going to pray in a minute or two, but this Jesus guy changed my life 15 years ago. Maybe not 15, maybe 12 years ago, something like that. And I've never been the same again. Yeah, I've fallen down, I've made mistakes, of course I have, but Jesus changed my life. And it would be wrong for me to have a word about saying how awesome Jesus is, how we want to see so many people come to know Jesus, without giving people the opportunity, perhaps even this morning, to receive Jesus. So Jesus died for you many, many years ago, so that for every stupid thing you've ever done can and will be forgiven when you choose to believe in Him. 3 days later, He came back from the dead. And that was the most amazing miracle ever. If we choose to believe in that this morning and turn away from all the things silly we're doing. So that word's called repentance. Repentance is walking in this direction. Yeah, I don't like you, Jesus. I'm not interested in you, Jesus. I want to go party and clubbing, this, that, and the other. Repentance is turning around saying, my gosh, this Jesus James is talking about might be real. This morning might be an opportunity for me to say, you know what, I'm going to give this a go. You know, this seems really exciting. And it would be wrong of me not to give anyone the opportunity this morning to receive Jesus for the first time. So I just want to ask, guys, if we can just close our eyes. If we just hold our hands just out in front of us. Now, that's not anything strange, just because if we want to, we're about to receive a gift, and that's the gift of Jesus, and it's just being very symbolic. And what I'm going to do is, guys, I'm going to say a prayer. Then if you're comfortable afterwards, I'd just like you to repeat it line by line. Father God, this morning, I choose to give my life to you. I believe that you died upon the cross, and 3 days later you rose again. I choose to live for you. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I repent from all the wrong in my life and ask for forgiveness. I choose to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, just as people's eyes are still shut, I just want to ask that perhaps if you said that for the first time this morning, or you're going through a really tricky, tough time, and you just want to recommit your life to Jesus this morning, I just want to ask, just as people's eyes are shut, just if you could just give me a quick wave. Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want the opportunity to go by. We've seen at least one or two hands go up this morning. Anyone else in this room who wants to give their life to Jesus for the first time, perhaps? Or maybe you're going through a tricky time and you just want to recommit your life to Jesus. If you could just raise your hand just so I can see. I'll give you a little nod or something like that, and then that's cool. Thank you. Now I'm going to do something really strange. If you're one of the guys who put your hands up to receive Jesus for the first time or to recommit your life to Jesus, I just want to ask that you be super brave and that you just come up to the front. And when you're coming up to the front, this congregation is going to be clapping their hands like crazy because we're so excited that you have made the best decision in your life. So if that was you guys who just raised your hands and you'll feel happy to, if you could just walk to the front. No pressure on anyone. I definitely saw more hands go up. If there's anyone else who'd like to come forward now, please feel free. The church is still going to give you a big clap. We're still just as excited. If there's anyone else who put their hand up and they'd like to come to the front just so we can pray and hang out with you, that'd be so cool. We'll just give a few more seconds for that, and then we're going to pray with you, and then the wonderful Bev is going to have a chin wag. If not, that's totally cool. Maybe you can see Craig at the end of the service. And what's your name? Elaine Barclay. I used to work for Barclays many years ago, so a good surname. Elaine, God is good. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's going to use you, if you choose to let him, to do the impossible and achieve amazing things. Now, Elaine, there's a wonderful lady just there. Her name's Beverly, and she's on part of a team. Now, what she's going to do is she's going to go in a minute and give you a humongous hug and say, welcome to the family. You're so welcome to be here. We love you. We think you're awesome. And then she's going to have a little chat with you, just tell you about the decision you made and just get some details if that's cool. We're so proud of you. God thinks you're amazing. God thinks you're awesome. This is a new day, and we're so excited. Guys, can we show appreciation to Jesus again? Now, Elaine, if you just... Thank you, Bev. Thank you, Bev. And now I wanted to bring, we give God all the glory, by the way. It's incredible. There's a party in heaven. I'm not sure if that's the first time, the second, or whatever. Don't bother me. That's someone who wants to give their life and say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you again. And that is awesome. Now, guys, I'm kind of nicking your thing here, Craig. Is it all right? I want to ask, if you guys are up for this, that's what we called the message this morning. Are you up for this? If you're up for being used by Jesus to achieve the impossible, I want to ask that we come to the front, because we're going to pray. We have a wonderful team who will pray as well. But I want to also challenge you guys as well, that there may be some of us, maybe the older generation, who have said, oh yeah, James, whatever, mate, I've heard all this before. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we're going to win the world. Yeah, I heard that when I was 30 years old as well. If that's you, God can change that mindset, and I believe he wants to, and I believe he will. Because, you know, 15 years ago, everyone was telling me, oh, James, you know, Refresh is going to be 1,000 people big. And it got to about 100, and then it stopped. So I have to get up and say, God, I'm up for this again. Use me. Guys, if you're wanting to be used by Jesus to achieve the impossible. And if you want to say to God, yeah, God, I'm up for this, I want to ask that we come to the front. I'm going to say a prayer, and I know we've got a wonderful ministry team who will be happy to pray for every single person who's in front of me. Because a group of people like this who, I mean, of all the hearts that we're up for this, this town's going to be changed and transformed. And we need to know that it's not us doing anything, it's the Holy Spirit in us. So I'm going to pray. And then the ministry team perhaps are just going to pray for every single one of us individually. And we're going to believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to count on us. We're never going to be the same. So let's hold our hands out in front of us. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for Elaine, and we thank you that she has come from darkness into light this morning, and we give you all the glory. We believe that that is one of many this year who are going to come to salvation. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we believe that you are going to use us. I ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that you fill us again with your Holy Spirit. You fill us again with your love. You fill us again with your joy. You fill us with your presence. You fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, if we're people who have said, James, I've heard this all before, but I'm going to try again, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless these people. Father, would you fill these people with your presence? Lord Jesus, we don't just want faith, we want supernatural faith. We want to say to mustard seeds, move mountains. We want to be people who are used by you to achieve the absolute impossible, because we want to see your name, Lord Jesus, made famous in this town. So Lord Jesus, we declare this morning that without you we can do nothing, but with you we can achieve everything. So Lord Jesus, do it, we pray, for your glory. And everyone in the room said, amen and amen.